June 2025. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Here.
Commissioner Spence.
Present.
Commissioner Roan.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
James, where are you?
Commissioner Campbell, can you hear us?
He's muted.
I think you're muted. Can you hear us? Okay, well, he's on there, but maybe can't speak at this time. And Commissioner Stevens.
Here. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any changes to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move to public comment, item number 5. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission regarding any topic in person. Do you have any public comment for us?
No.
Okay, we will move on to, we have an advisory issue. Item number 6, England Marine Lease Renewal. Director Isom.
Thank you, Commissioner. So on page 3 of your packet, we've included a copy of a letter that we received several weeks ago from Brian Anderson, the CFO of England Marine, indicating that per the terms of their lease, they are exercising the next renewal option within that lease, which is a 20-year renewal expiring on November 30, 2045. And then additionally, there's actually two more renewal options that are available once we get to that date. Now, typically, these things that don't require action of the commission, especially for some of our smaller tenants, we don't put it on an agenda. But due to the significance of England Marine being one of the anchor tenants down here at the port, I thought it was important to make sure the commission and the public were aware that they had exercised that option, and we're excited to have them here for the long term. So that's why we've included it in your packet. And again, no action is required from the commission. This is the option of the tenant, England Marine, and they've exercised that option per this, the terms of the agreement.
Good. Thank you. Advisory item, but are there any questions for the director? We'll move on. Let's pause for a moment. Let's see if you can get a hold of Commissioner Campbell and remind me he has to unmute.
So on page 4 of your packet, we have a CBA amendment, and following that on page 5 and 6, we have new job classification wage rate table for the 25-26 and 26-27 fiscal year. So our collective bargaining agreement that we agreed to back in 2022 is actually a 5-year agreement. That takes us through June 30 of 2027. However, there was language in the contract that allowed for reopening the contract in 2025 only for wages and benefits. And so we started working with representatives from the bargaining unit, I think back in late April, early May, and after a number of meetings, we've reached an agreement. And so you'll see on page 5 that for the 2025-26 fiscal year, there's a 4% increase across the board for all job classes, and the same increase for the 26-27 fiscal year that can be found on page 6 of the document. So I'm pleased that that the bargaining unit agreed to this. The process took a little bit longer than I was hoping for, but overall, as has been the case now, at least in my time as executive director, we have a really positive relationship with the Local 50, and so I did want to publicly thank Todd Ranta, who's the president of the Local 50, as well as Rodney Watkins, who were part of the bargaining team, and then our own staff representatives were Glenn Bielar and Kerry Coggins. So we're asking for approval tonight from the commission for the CBA amendment for the change in wage rate tables for the 25-26 and 26-27 fiscal year. And of note also, even though there was a reopener for benefits, there were no change in benefits. So this is simply new wage tables for the upcoming 2 years.
Very good. Congratulations to Director Eisen for negotiating skills. It was a long time, a lot of hard work. Thank you. Well, to approve it, we're going to need a motion.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Very good. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We have a unanimous vote on the people that are here. Next, we're going to talk about the enterprise zone approval. And we're fortunate we have Kevin Leahy here today to explain what we're doing. And you have a handout on your desk that was not included in the package. Jack Rison?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you. Thank you, all commissioners, and Director Rison. I'm here before you. I mentioned a little bit before as I sat down when I first arrived that I'm here to request the Port Commission's approval for the redesignation of the Enterprise Zone. The Port of Astoria and the City of Astoria and Warrington and Clatsop County are the four sponsors. I've had the honor of being the Enterprise Zone manager since the beginning in 2015, and it's every 10 years, and it sunsets the end of this month, June. And I apologize on the packet side of things and the fact that we had public hearings we had to do with the taxing districts, and as I mentioned, we did. We were on a Zoom call and didn't really have any pushback from the taxing districts at all. But because of the timing of that and the deadline from Business Oregon of getting this all submitted by the end of June, working with Director Isom, obviously you have your commission meetings on certain days of the month. And this is the 17th, and so I'm here today asking for the redesignation approval from the Port of Astoria with an effective date of June 18th, because that's the window it needs to fall into, June 18th to the 30th. You have before you Clatsop County, the Clatsop County memorandum and information. I'm working with Director Eisen and obviously Commissioner Stevens, et cetera, that we would work to have this on the Port of Astoria's template, and it's the same language, just basically changing, you know, from Clatsop County to the Port of Astoria, and it's very kind of a boilerplate template we use all around, and that's the reason you have the county commission one here, because you're first, you have first. So that's what that is, and again, what you have before you does explain about how established in 2015, I already mentioned the four agencies, incentivizing new business investments by paying the local property tax as an investment for a certain number of years. We've had four businesses since this started, and we are meant to talk about Schooler briefly, and it's Bowie Beer, it's Fort George, and it's Hyatt Maritime in partnership with WCT Marine. Those are the four. Cedar to meet with businesses interested in potentially opening here in Clatsop County and taking advantage of these programs. And I'll give you, we had a recent example of an employer here in Astoria, but they're a small employer, they're looking forward to it. But when we started talking about they needed to provide a full-time position for their investment, they said, we're not ready to have a full-time employee behind this. So we have small and large projects. So I'm really here, and in the packet, as I stated, it's the county commission packet, but looking to update that for poor investor for your purpose and our purpose. And it also in your packet has the map. So, and it does not impact the Port of Astoria at all on the map change. We have a slight amendment of the map that impacts the city of Astoria. We've worked with the city staff on this because we have to be like 80% median income in order to have an enterprise zone here in Clatsop County. I think we're like at 80.6 or 81%. So we took away part of the enterprise zone here in the city. Again, nothing impacting the port. And that's the red that's on the map there. So the enterprise zone area boundary, proposed boundary amendment. And talking to Commissioner Rowe, like there is an existing enterprise zone out of Napa and Warrington, it goes out to the airport. And so that's the map. And I think, again, like we've had the hearings, we're very optimistic. We're also looking for things in our toolkit to help our business community to move, to expand, to grow, et cetera. So that's really the overview, just asking for the commission's approval for the redesignation with the effective date of June 18th is why I'm here today to answer questions you all have.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I'm familiar with the enterprise zone, and I think this is a valuable benefit for the implementation of our master water plan, because one of the benefits of the enterprise zone, as I recall, I believe it's a waiver of taxes for 5 or 7 years.
So or longer, depending on the number. Yeah.
So this will benefit the chamber and the port attracting additional businesses to come in on the our master plan. So it's I certainly endorse it. It's a great step forward. We thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Well, thank you for being part of us. Thank you, Commissioner.
Support.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay.
Further questions for Mr. Leahy?
Well, at this time, if you care to make a motion, which might be your last one,
I will move to approve the Clatsop County resolution authorizing the submission of an application to the state of Oregon requesting the designation of an enterprise zone. This authorization is to be effective June 18, 2025.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion?
I just would point out one thing, because I get questions about this from time to time, and I think it's important to point out that these enterprise zone tax abatements are only for new investment. So it's not as if there's current properties on the tax roll that are all of a sudden going to be taken off. This is just it's a program to incentivize that new investment. So I think that's an important clarification. So we're not taking anything off the tax roll. It only applies to new investment.
Thank you, Will. Yep. Very good point.
I agree. Thank you. Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Again. Unanimous of those present.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for coming by.
Thank you. Nice to see everybody.
Our next item is D. This is Astoria Industrial Park Design and Engineering, the Airport Industrial Park.
Commissioner, I think we skipped over item C.
Oh, you're right. Thanks. I'm glad somebody keeps check. This is Resolution 2025-05, authorizing a loan from the Oregon Port Revolving Loan Fund. Thank you, Director Eisen.
Thank you, Commissioner. And so we have our head of finance, Melanie Howard, here to describe this more in detail. But this, what this is related to was a purchase, I think it's been probably 5 or 6 months ago now.
It was in October.
in October, so it's been more than that. And I think at the time when we had purchased the hangar, we had talked about exploring some financing options, so it's taken some time, but we're finally here. So with that, I'll turn it over to you, Melanie.
Yeah, so back in October, we had the purchase of a hangar at the airport from Dr. Philip Bales for $300,000 with the intention of getting a loan. So the court outlaid the cash, but we were hoping to get a loan fairly shortly thereafter, and it has taken a while. But the loan would be through Business Oregon. It's a 19-year loan with an interest rate of 4.82% in the amount of $240,000, so slightly less than what we paid for. So we're just asking the commission to approve the resolution authorizing the loan from the Oregon Court Revolving Fund.
Excuse me, Melanie.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Proceed.
Oh, yeah. Did you get...
She finished. Oh, you're through.
Short and sweet. Did you have questions about the loan?
Yeah. The interest rate looks good, so that's great. I think that was worth the effort, so thanks.
Yeah, they always give us very competitive rates.
We just had to work a little harder and longer to get it, probably.
Yeah, there were just some issues with the type of property and getting the mortgage against it. It was complicated.
Well, certainly is a good thing. And we're waiting for a motion for that.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Very good. We will move on to a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
This is approving resolution number 2025-05. Is that correct?
Correct. Oh, thank you.
Thank you,
Madam. Let's go over those presents. Now, industrial park design and engineering. Airport Industrial Park.
Thank you, Commissioner. If you'll turn to page 28 of your packet, you'll see a request for expenditure number 0212 in the amount of $175,500. This is a request so that we can commence work on design and engineering for the two 10,000 square foot light industrial buildings at the industrial park. The process was a really interesting one. We ended up having six firms that we evaluated. There were two that kind of rose to the top. It was PBS Engineering and Livermore Architecture. And so based on the scoring that we did, we had three people do the evaluations. It was myself, Greg Rison, and then Jane Jensen, our consultant. But based on those evaluations, we interviewed two firms with PBS Engineering coming out on top. There's, again, a number of reasons for that. Great structural experience in this area, and they ended up coming in at a price lower than Livermore, which is why one of the reasons we wanted to go with PBS. On the phone today, we've got Todd Wells, who's the principal at PBS, and I'll leave this open to him in just a second here if he has anything to add to this. But I just wanted to remind the commission that what we're looking at with this funding is to basically go through some of the money that the county has given us for the development for the industrial park, looking to get through that by October, and PBS is going to be able to help us accomplish that. One of the primary concerns that we had with this project was the wetlands and how we're going to work with that. So it's one of the reasons we looked at the site that we did is looking to the west of Schuller. That's where we have the least amount of wetlands impact. And there's a really good chance that we don't have to do pile work for this. With the Schuller project, there was a huge amount of expense involved with the foundation because of some third-party engineering. And with the experience that PBS has on board, we're pretty confident that that's not going to be the best solution for our foundations here, so we should be able to save some money that way. So again, what we're looking for from the commission is approval for Fort staff to enter into an agreement with PBS not to exceed $175,500 for the
My name is Hod Wills. I'm an engineer and project manager with Apex Companies, formerly PBS. I'm the project manager for the consultant team, and on behalf of our team, I just wanted to express our gratitude for being selected to support the port on this this great project. We're eager to get started, and just happy to be a part of the continued development of the port, and glad to get it. So, thank you.
We have questions for Mr. Wells or directors? Okay, entertain a motion.
Can you hear me now, Steve?
Yes, Commissioner Campbell, welcome. Let the record show, Commissioner Campbell's online with us.
Let me give you the motion. I move that we accept this project.
There's already a motion on the floor, but we're ready to proceed to a vote. We did get a second, I assume. I missed it.
All second.
Okay, we got a second?
Yep.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We're ready for item E, which is Pier 2 West emergency repairs. I see we have Greg Morrill on the line. Mr. Director.
Yep.
We'll go ahead and take that one as well. So we'll go ahead and turn page 71 of your packets. That's the first page of a contract that was submitted by Greg at Bergerson Construction to begin the temporary repairs to Pier 2 West that we discussed last meeting. You'll also look on page 97. Based on the corridors that have been outlined by Ryan at PND Engineering, this is about 95% complete. Ryan is also doing some adjustments based on a site walk that we made of the site about a week and a half ago. And that will include some of the areas on the west or on the north side by the ice house for DeYang that will be included, and then some of the other areas near Bornstein's crane in the middle of the dock. One of the things I'll draw your attention to is section 2.5 of the contract on page 71. Says the estimated budget to complete the work is $1 million. This is a rough estimate that has been put together by Greg at Bergerson. What we're looking to do is to reduce that to a $500,000 maximum at this point. That's what we have to spend on the project. One thing I would point out is that we're also looking at leveraging those dollars. We are in discussions with Business Oregon, seeing if we can get funds from the state that can supplement these and hopefully get us closer to the $1 million needed to do all of the temporary repairs based on those corridors. Even if we had the $1 million right now, this is not going to fix the entirety of Pier 2 West, just the corridors that have been outlined. So the processes are going to have to work in some confined areas and stay out of those that are going to be labeled as no-go. So that's where we are right now. What we're looking for from the commission this evening is approval for the port to get Bergerson Construction rolling with a $500,000 maximum and not to exceed with the estimated budget with this consensus docs contract, and have approval from the commission to get everybody going.
Sorry.
I noticed on the price of this, he's got a crane price in here, crane barge.
motion and a second. Further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 We have a unanimous vote. There ain't no one opposing. I have one question for the director. You may have presented this before, but I want to make sure I understood. B&D introducing this issues wanted vehicle traffic and storage restricted from the pier's deck. I know we were creating passageways, but are we restricting them from storing or moving vehicles on the pier now?
No, the vehicles will still be allowed to be on the pier, but we do need to make those repairs to maintain that access.
Of course, yeah. Okay, so let me move on. Thank you, Mr. Rowe.
Thank you.
And finally, our item F, KASG Hangers, LLC, lease agreement. John Twiss's old hangar.
Thank you, Commissioner. If you look on page 98 of your packet, this is a lease that has been vetted by Eileen Dickens and on back and forth with Chris Novoselic and his attorney as well. So just backing up a little bit and some background on this. You're all familiar with the Twiss hangar and the condition that it's in. It really has some decent bones to it, but it has been neglected over the years. And so one of the things that we have looked at with this lease is, considering that Chris has been in the property for about a year now, he was willing to make a significant capital investment in the property for basically what would end up with a 20-year lease. So a five-year initial lease with 3 5-year renewal terms. And at the end of those 3 5-year renewal terms, he would basically revert the property to the port. And the investment into the property is not insignificant. If you look towards the back of your packet, and it will be on page 128, you'll see what the total amount estimated for the project is, $584,705. So this is an investment that he's willing to make into the property that we would benefit from in 20 years. So the one thing that we did when we were looking at putting this lease together is to really give him a fair market rate for what the property looked like and how it's functioning now. So you look at section 5, this is what we agreed on was to give Chris a lease amount of $900 per month for the first 5 years, and then it would go up CPI after that. So with the amount of investment that he's willing to contribute to this and with the amount of the fuel that he's going to be purchasing with the additional planes that he's looking at buying, I think this is a real win for the port. And you know, Chris is somebody that is very interested in being here. He likes the space and is willing to make the investment. And so I think that this would be a good thing for the port to do. And so what I'm asking from the commission tonight is approval for this lease that would begin July 1st of this year. Allow him to start the considerable work that is listed on page 128 and get this thing done within the next couple of years. That's one of the conditions of the repairs that all have to be done within a 2-year period. So,
what is his business model?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You pick me up? In all interest of the public and everybody concerned, I would like to have this held over for the next meeting and give the commissioners a chance to review this property and the condition it's in and to look at another option which would leave the port and the operator there in a better position at the end of 20 years. And if we want something that's going to be good for 50 years, we're going to have to do something a little different. And it can be done at the same cost or less. And that would entail make that motion to hold it over for the next meeting.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. Discussion.
I'd like to hear that.
There were discussions on the table.
It's not a table. He's talking about.
Okay.
I think it needs
to be moving it over.
So I think we to delay until the next meeting. There's some assertions made by Commissioner Campbell about the state of the building and his estimation. I'd like to hear the court respond to those assertions as far as what he suggested and how the current state of the building is and what Chris Noel said, his perspective is.
What he's going to spend building this here is more than enough to put in a new R&M building there with all the amenities, the insulation, everything that goes with it, turnkey, new concrete floors, everything, for less than what he's talking about.
Okay, I'd like to keep this within the limits of the rules. We do have a motion and a second. So for further discussion, we're going to hold off the call on you again, Commissioner Campbell, until we hear something from the question that Commissioner Roan raised. Can we hear more?
We have not looked at the replacement of the building. Permitting being what it is right now, it's hard to say what that would be. The other side of this is I know that Kristen's looking to get these repairs done relatively quickly. When the building is torn down, you have no hangar. So where would we put Kristen then? So a new building is possible, but I think it presents some challenges, and I think that those challenges would be one that Chris might not like much.
I think we're working with a tenant. It's their money, and to spend it how they should so choose, that they require to make those improvements in the next 2 years, and in 20 years the court gets it anyway. So I think.
Commissioner, we're going to have to do this in order, so hang on a minute. You still have the floor.
I don't want to see us lose a tenant by dragging our feet, and we are having problems with permitting in that jurisdiction. That is not for dispute. So I believe that it's in the economic best interest probably of both the tenant, who we're supposed to be working with, and the port. And again, in 20 years, we're the sole beneficiary of the money that he puts in, and I can't imagine that he will allow the facility to fall in disrepair so long as he's renting it. So I'm not in support of prolonging it. I'm in favor of voting no, to delaying the vote, and would like to see the commission act today to move the process forward.
Thank you. Commissioner Spence. Any discussion?
I think we have to, as a commission, we represent the people. We have the land, and it's up to us to pass it on to our successors, a decent building at the end of 20 years. And I think what I'm talking about could do that. And I don't think that 2 weeks is going to make a bit of difference in approving this or disapproving it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Spence.
I'm going to go along and support Commissioner Roan.
Thank you. Commissioner Hill.
I tend to agree with Commissioner Roan as well, although asking questions of Matt and so on, I think that's reasonable to hear that as well.
The motion on the floor is that we will move this, put it over to the next meeting. All in favor of moving it over, say aye.
Aye.
That's two. I asked the question if you wanted to move it over, but you said you agreed with it.
support not delaying it.
Okay, Commissioner Miller.
All in favor say aye. Commissioner Campbell?
Aye.
All opposed say no again? No.
No.
Motion fails. Now we're going to take up the...
We have to vote on the lease agreement.
Thank you. Well, yes, that's what we want to pick up. To move this forward, we will need another motion.
Commissioner Smith, with the honors.
This is there to
West.
Negative. No, this is the last one. KAST Hangars LLC.
Move to approve the lease agreement with KAST Hangars LLC as presented.
Very well.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed?
No.
Motion is approved by a 4-1 vote. Moving on, we are ready for our commissioner comments. Commissioner Hill.
I have nothing today.
Commissioner Spence, you have a speech?
I'd like to defer to the end.
Okay, I'll wait till the end. Thank you.
I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you up there.
But you don't want to walk up there. We'll have to change that, Director, so that we can address him here.
Okay.
I was going to go to the podium, but I think we're going here. There's more to come with that, folks. All right, Commissioner Rome.
I want to use my report to talk briefly about Frank Spence and his positive impact on the port. I understand Frank started out on the budget committee, being retired from public service. Frank brought a lot of experience, expertise with him. When I got to know him, newly elected to the board, things were much different than they are now. During our public comment period, it was not uncommon to have prospective port tenants come and testify to their frustration with the port. As the port seemed to be floundering, Frank appointed a port finance committee to take a deep dive into the port's condition. He appointed a talented group of community members whose genuine desire was to see the port succeed. With an open-minded group, the work began. In the end, many of the group's members seemed to think a change at the top was warranted. Frank was also prolific in his attendance of other public governmental boards. With the tremendous amount of stakeholder input, Frank showed the courage to help usher in a new management. Easier said than done. His appointment of Will Isom as the interim executive director helped restart the port in a positive direction. Frank is strong-willed. He is his own man. He showed courage that many in similar positions have not. I think he's been on the right side of history in making the port a better place. In the end, he showed the grace to step down and pass the baton of leadership to someone new. I think it's important to remember what Frank Spence has done here.
Thank you. Thank you. As well stated, Shane. Thank you. Mr. Campbell, comments?
No, I have nothing to say. Thank you.
My comments, Commissioner Hill and I met with Mayor Ballenseeper earlier this week to discuss the Pier 2 mitigation issue. We talked for quite a while. What I'm taking away from it is that we did stress the urgency of getting that work started, getting it done, getting the permitting out of the way. And I think we need to keep going with both our alternative and original request, both sites. I wouldn't stop that. We didn't fix anything, but we did end the meeting amicably. Also, I passed out a issue paper regarding dredging. Now, this is to inform the commission that I am working on objections, I'm going to continue to work on this. I think we need a long-term answer to our dredging problem.
This will be dredging at our Pier 1 or some point or both?
This will be our entire dredging problem. Basically, it's the deep water piers.
Okay.
A little bit of research shows that our country has recognized unique problems. For example, California has a federal water plant and a state water plant that's managed by the governments. The Tennessee Valley Authority, if you're familiar with that one, flood control, production of electricity, and all these things, all the way from Tennessee down to the Gulf of Mexico. And if you want to look at the Mississippi River, you're going to find that it's levied, diced, and sliced, and dammed all the way from Minnesota down to New Orleans. So there's a lot of precedents for government involvement. And I want to point out that our situation here is unique. Because we get all the sediment and all the waste and everything else all the way from Canada, all the way from southern Oregon, and all the way from the Snake River. So I'm going forward with this. I didn't want to go any further with it unless I talk to you. And if anybody wants to say stop that, I'll listen. We can talk about it. But I don't see that right away we're going to get what we want. This is not going to be grabbed by any of our congressional delegations or state legislators and say, oh yeah, we'll give you money for that. You're in a unique position. But maybe down the road, I don't know, several years from now, this might be a driver if I can pick up some support of people to recognize the unique position we're in. So having said that, that ends my comments.
If you don't ask, you can't receive. Thank you.
Any questions about that?
Just so long as you're in concert with staff, so we're rowing in the same direction, I guess. That's
yeah, I am working with the director and Shane, and I'm keeping the director informed about what we're talking about. You're right. It's got to be a coordinated effort to get the staff involved.
Does staff have an opinion about that?
So we've been working together, and actually, when we get to my report, my first bullet item is having to do with dredging and some of the short-term things that we're working on. So I think it's going to have to be kind of a multi-pronged approach here of looking for a long-term solution that's sustainable, while at the same time understanding that long-term solution may take a while to get in place, and then in the short term, how do we get dredging done to maintain access to our facilities?
Okay, director comments.
Yeah, so we've been, along with Director McGrath, exploring a number of different options in order to get dredging done, because we're at a point where we just don't have the option of sort of kicking the can any further. I've actually had some discussions with folks in the last few weeks with, you know, what I consider to be the two biggest issues facing the port of Pier 2 and dredging. That are not new issues. I call them legacy issues of the port that, you know, I think over time we've talked a lot about, we've understood the importance, but we haven't been able to implement solutions, and we've just come to the point now to where we no longer have the option of kicking the can. We have to get solutions in place. And so when it comes to dredging, one of the things that we were looking at in the short term, since we put our own dredge out of commission, was the idea that if we could expand the permit window, which typically for us starts in November, if we could start that earlier, there may be an option to tag on to the Corps of Engineers dredging contractor when they're out here in September and October. I think logically that makes all the sense in the world. However, in order to get that done and get approval, we've been working with a number of agencies, and the most recent meeting that we had was with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, as well as the Department of State Lands. And so when we had requested opening up the dredge permitting window sooner, we had received a denial through DSL, but it was based on the recommendation of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And so we met with both departments over the phone, and quite honestly, it was a bit frustrating during the meeting. We had actually shown a picture of dredging happening about 100 feet from our dock in earlier years, but at the same time had this biological opinion saying that because of the potential impact on juvenile salmon, that it was not safe for us to be dredging, even though there's already dredging happening in an adjacent area. I think one of the things that we ran into was a bit of a back and forth, in that the biologists that were on the phone from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, when we started to bring up all of the factors that are important, all of the economic factors, safety factors, and reasons why we thought this made sense, their answer was pretty much to the effect of, well, we have a fairly narrow scope. We offer a biological opinion, and we don't really consider all of those other factors. Well, DSL was also on the call, and according to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, it's then up to DSL to take that opinion and weigh any other factors and circumstances that may be important in the decision. However, on the call, DSL indicated that they rely heavily on the opinion of Department of Fish and Wildlife and would rarely overturn their biological opinion. So you're sort of caught in this back and forth of one agency saying, we only look at this, that should be up to them. But then said agency says, well, we just rely on the opinion that the first agency gave. And so as a follow-up to that, we actually have a meeting with the governor's office tomorrow morning to see if there's anything we can do here in the short term, because we're in the process actually of soliciting for some proposals to get some updated costs of what it might cost us to get dredging done via a contractor. But I know in years past, when we've got some rough numbers together, a large percentage of the dredging costs is the mobilization and getting the equipment out here. And so obviously, if we were able to tag on to the Corps' contract, we would eliminate mobilization costs because they're already here. With the equipment they have and the amount of dredging we need to do, they could do it in very short order rather than the old system of the port being out there for 4 months and our entire maintenance crew on the water all winter. So anyway, we're looking at those options, and then as well working with Commissioner Stevens at kind of some longer term options of what might work down the road. But this is a huge issue for the port, and ultimately it will get to the point that if we can't find a solution, it's going to limit the vessel traffic that we can have coming in and out of the port and to the face of our pier. But it's not a sustainable model for a port the size of Astoria to fully take on the cost to maintain access. I think this is a different conversation when we're talking about doing periodic dredging within our marinas, where we're turning revenue, and those are our facilities. But this idea that we're also responsible for maintaining access to the port itself is just not sustainable. And so we're hoping to find a solution, and again, working to find different funding options. One of the things that's difficult about dredging when it comes to funding is it's not something folks can see. It doesn't look any different the day you start dredging as the day you finish dredging. And I think especially when you're talking about whether it's grant funding, legislative funding, they tend to like to fund things that people can see that are very obvious. And dredging is not that, and it's considered really a maintenance item that for a lot of folks, I think they think that the port should bear that responsibility. But again, we'll start to see once we get proposals coming in of what the numbers look like. But I'm guessing that the contracting that out is going to end up costing us probably 15 to 20% of what our total operating budget is, which is just, again, not sustainable at all. So we're working towards solutions, not a new problem. We've had this issue for a long time, and now we're just to the point where we have to do something about it. So the only other update I have, and I know that we have a...
Can I say something real quick?
Yep, go ahead.
I hope you can argue the biological opinion that the impact would be greatly reduced concerning the amount of time in the water. If they're in the water for a week instead of 4 months, that would seem to be a rational...
didn't notice National Marine Fisheries and has been moved out from one department in the federal government to the others. So I don't know if that change is going to produce different managers and different directors and deputy assistants.
So we're talking about the DSL. That's the hang up right now with the biological opinion, right?
Well, what I thought that is related because that biological opinion is housed in the National Marine Fisheries with the EPA and the Endangered Species Act.
Isn't the sustain opinion you're talking about? The sustain opinion is what? Not NOAA Fisheries.
Should I move on here?
That's all I have.
Okay. So then the last update, I think Commissioner Stevens and Commissioner-elect Fickell have RSVP'd, but Congresswoman Bonamici is hosting a town hall in Seaside on Friday. All electeds in the region are invited, and that's Friday at 2 p.m. at Seaside Middle School.
For those who are attending, do you have a coordinated response of something that would be helpful for the board? Like, hey, this item X, you know, for the commissioners to make their comments most beneficial for the board?
Yes, I think it goes back to those two issues we just talked about, I mean, Pier 2 and dredging. You know, and maybe when we're, you know, talking with the congresswoman, I think dredging is the area where, you know, she could possibly have some impact. You know, those town halls, because of the format, are a little bit tough to get into nuance and detail because they try to take a lot of questions in a short amount of time. You know, we're fortunate. Congresswoman Bonamici she's very responsive. Her office is very proactive, and so we're working directly with them quite a bit. And so I think anything that we could bring up, they likely already know about. But I think it would be, you know, it's a good opportunity to kind of, you know, hear some of her priorities and you know, and hear what I guess some of the other issues around the region are. I'm not sure if we're going to have enough floor time to really get into this discussion.
The last one was a half hour long, and she and her staff were about 5 minutes late getting started. You were there. And then they talked for 10 minutes about the problems they were having with the administration in Washington, D.C. And then the rest of the time was taken up by going around the room quickly and asking what people had to focus on with the problems they were getting from the changeover in Washington, D.C. But I was fortunate and was able to carry our concerns over to Esten after that meeting adjourned, and he was on his way to the second town hall she was going to have with people who were not elected officials. So we can probably do the same again. If there is an agenda item that you want me to raise my hand and speak out about it, I will, but I think our D is Esten. He's always been helpful.
Yeah. That concludes my comment.
Any other questions for the director? Great. Upcoming meeting dates, we have a regular session on July 1st, 2025, right here at 4 p.m. And then a further workshop session, July 15th, 2025, right here at 4 p.m. With that, the meeting is almost adjourned. Frank, I think the best thing to do is if you could scoot around and sit by that American flag, that would make a good background for a picture.
We're going to have a statement.
We're going to, oh, you can read it over there.
He's ready to read it, I think.
Ready to read it? Read it.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Read it.
In dollar speak. This is my last meeting after serving on the commission for 8 years. I was able to utilize, in addition, before that, I was on the finance committee my arrival here in Astoria back in 2013. I was able to draw upon my experience of having been the city manager for the city of Miami Beach, and I happened to live on Hibiscus Island right across the water from the port of Miami, which is now the largest
Port Mineral. So, plus I took a number of cruises, so my love of the ports and cruises has been sustained all this time. I go back in history on what this port has lived through. I think about our executive director, Mike Weston, being around when I first was attending these meetings. And at the time, it was chaos on the Port Commission and the staff. Commissioner Kunziger and one other commissioner were haranguing Mike Weston, who was the executive director at that time. And the chaos at that time, the yelling and screaming during the meetings, became so heated that the president at that time, Dr. Bob, I can't remember his last name.
Mushin. Bob Mushin.
Mushin had a heart attack and collapsed right there during the meeting. So that Mike Weston resigned and Jim Knight was brought on as executive director. And during this time, the commission voted to pay $400,000 to two of our clerks to avoid a lawsuit that they were threatening to sue us over alleged discrimination. And what really irked the commission at that time is when Jim Knight turned back $1.5 million grant from Business Oregon without telling the commission, without authority. Eventually, there was a motion on the floor to terminate Jim Knight with a 2-2 vote, and I was the third vote to terminate him. Jim was a very nice, pleasant person and friend, but I had to vote to terminate him. He had attorneys, and we paid them around $44,000 and Jim around $200,000. Then we appointed Will Isom, who was then the finance director, as the interim executive director to fill in. My experience in Miami Beach served me well. As I mentioned, I lived across the Port of Miami and taking a number, and like I say, it's now the largest seaport in the world. I watched my cruise ships leave about daily and permanently took pictures of them and watched them. So my love of cruise ships coming to the Port of Astoria is great. Now I can watch I can watch them come in and watch them be part of the waterfront master plan that we have passed, and that is going to take place implementing this year, which is great because funding has come about by a firm in Seattle that's going to implement the waterfront master plan. This includes tearing down the Riverwalk Motel and building a four-story hotel, and that's going to be this year. So I will be observing this as a participant in related support groups. I'm still in the class of cruise ship host and CREST, which is the Columbia River Estuary Task Force. The board in the future will have to appoint positions that I held as a representative of the port with the Columbia Pacific Economic Development District, the Northwest Area Commission on Transportation, and the Northwest Oregon Economic Alliance. These call for a representative from the Port of Astoria. So that, with that, my sign and die, and I bid farewell. It's been an honor and a pleasure serving.
We're not through.
Well, I think the commissioners who would probably like to participate, if you have time, I think if we move the American flag over a little bit, we gather around with Commissioner Spence.
I don't know.
guess what? Commissioner, this is an honor for me to be here as the chairman and be able to present this to you on behalf of the commission. That's a plaque.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you can keep that forever.
Thank you.
I want to say that we've expressed some of our thoughts about your service in this letter from the commission and from the Port of Astoria as well. We've got a nice framed letter here, and if you would give me that, I'm going to show it to the audience and we'll get some pictures taken. I have enjoyed serving with you. You know, it was fun. A lot of fun. You make it light and you stick to your principles. I also want to say, I hardly agreed with you on anything, but we still remain friends. That's an honor to be that way.
This is our plaque we got for her.
Okay, how many people can be crammed in here with them and still get it in the picture?
As many as you guys want. I will make it work.
Okay. Come on over.
Usually have my daughter stand in front of me.
I'll cover it. No worries. All right. 1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll pack these out for you. Mr. Stitz, thank you.
I will be watching you on Zoom. This goes in there.
Yeah, we still have a public comment period, so you can have your 3 minutes of glory anytime you want.
If you want to speak again, you got to put in a card.
Not my talking.
Oh, yeah.